how tough it is to get going. They tell the story about the fellow who got up one Sunday morning and told his mother, he said, "I'm not going to church." And she said, "You've got to go to church." He said, "Well, I'm not going to church." And she said, "You've got to go to church." And he said, "Give me three reasons why I should go to church. They don't like me there. They don't appreciate me. I don't feel needed or wanted. I'm not going." She said, "I'll give you three reasons. First reason is Sunday. Second reason is you're 40 years old. Third reason is you're the pastor." Sometimes you just have that feeling and you got to hang in, finish. Okay, now let's see here. This is a moving picture. You didn't believe it was going to be this long tonight, did you? It's amazing what's involved in world evangelism. Seeing that skit tonight, is there a switch there? Does that come out? Is that in tune, or how do you say that? In focus? I'm going to give you the application first. And then once I give you the application, what do? Break for coffee about midnight and then go to point two? Oh, hallelujah. Can't believe that skit. That is just beautiful. Wench is a genius. Is he here? Or is he off doing his Clouseau trick? Over there. You are a genius. An absolute genius. I can't believe it. That was fabulous. That was good news. You ought to do that every NAV conference. Do Jacques Clouseau. Oh, boy. The lesson I want to get across tonight is simply that Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word, and the Bible, the living Word, are one and the same in essence, not in form. In form, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, is very God of very God from eternity past to eternity future. And I do not suggest remotely that we end up committing the sin of bibliolatry, of worshiping the Bible, of saying that they are one and the same in form, but in essence. And I want to talk about that a little bit. Their characteristics are one and the same. Their ministries are one and the same. And our responsibilities to them are one and the same. And the reason for stressing it, gang, is this: that today we are fighting the battle of the Bible. There is an all-out satanic attack against the Scriptures. And in the final analysis, it's a satanic attack against the second person of the Godhead. The people do not attack the Bible for purely academic or intellectual reasons, in addition to whatever alleged academic or intellectual objections they may have to the Scriptures. They are, in fact, attacking the very person of Jesus Christ. That's the issue. And it's important for you and me to understand it. It's also important for you and me to understand that the way we partake of Christ is by partaking of the Scriptures. And the reason that God has called and commissioned and led the navigators to emphasize the individual's personal study and memory and meditation and review and obedience and application of the Bible is so that you might have a deeper personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the way to have a relationship with Christ. And there is no other way to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. A Christ-centered life is a Scripture-centered life, a Word-centered life, a Bible-centered life. Granted, it's possible to memorize verses of Scripture, to be able to quote passages of Scripture and to be a moral reprobate. That is always a possibility. But to know the Word of God and to obey and to apply and to work out the Word of God in experience will make a man or a woman Christ-centered. Two verses of Scripture, Luke 16:31. The reason for that is that there is a great deal of evidence today, archaeological, anthropological, historic, and all the rest, that verifies the Scriptures. But by and large, all of the evidences which exist are to reinforce the faith of Christians. And only secondarily do they help bring non-Christians to real faith in Christ. You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man in hell, Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, the rich man asking Abraham to send Lazarus back to life again to testify to his five brothers. And Jesus Christ quotes Abraham, and incidentally, Jesus never says this is a parable. The evidence is this is an actual historical event, not merely a story or a parable. Jesus quotes Abraham as saying, if they do not believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So go ahead and use all of the evidences which may or may not demand a verdict. And that's good information and very helpful. But in the final analysis, people will either accept the witness of the Bible in and of itself or they will not. If they do not believe Moses and the prophets, even if someone rose from the dead, and Jesus Christ did, by the way, they still don't believe. Miracles are not the basis of our witness. They may reinforce the faith of believers. The Word of God is essential. The other passage is 1 Thess 2:13. And I trust you'll put them on your future memory page. Having given you the application, we'll go to the body of the message. 1 Thess 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the Word of God, you received it, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually works in you who believe. Whatever you can do to get a man or woman into the Scriptures and to hear the Scriptures is a life and death issue. Because unless they hear the Scriptures, they will not believe. Won't believe the right thing. And the Word of God effectually works. The Word of God is so alive, is so dynamic, that when it gets into the life, it changes the life. And it's the only thing that changes life. For the good. For God's glory. So put those two verses down. Future memory. Luke 16:31. 1 Thess 2:13. If you want a Christ-centered life, you must have a Word, Scripture-centered life. Now let me share with you these three things. And what I've done... Whoop, beautiful. Does that come out okay? Their characteristics are identical. For example, they're both truth. The Word of God is truth. Is that readable? More or less. Okay. Psalm 119:142, John 17:17. The Word is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. I am truth. They're both life. The words that I speak unto you are life. Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. They're both light. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. They're both precious, exceedingly great and precious promises, referring to the Scriptures. 1 Peter 2:7 says, unto you therefore who believe, He is precious. And then I just jotted down several others. They're both eternal, they're both... And this is for you to do your own Bible study at home. I'm not going to give you all the references. In fact, I didn't even give you all the references up here. They're both eternal. They're both counselor. They're both our shield. They're both pure. The written, living Word of God is all of these things. And Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, is all of these things. Their characteristics are identical. If you want to partake of one, you partake of the other. One and the same. Now let's pause there and we'll wrap. Is that clear? Do you have the idea? If you want a deeper personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there is only one way to get it, and that is through the Scriptures. And you are going to come under all kinds of assault, attacks, doubts, innuendos, inferences, insinuations, the rest of your life attacking the Scriptures. And keep in mind that the real focal point of satanic attack is the second person of the Godhead, is Jesus Christ Himself, who is called the Word of God. That's one of His names. It's not a book the devil is attacking. It's Jesus Christ the devil is attacking. Now, any questions there? I've just given you four with some references and four without references. And that in itself is not an exhaustive list. But you have the idea. Their characteristics are identical. Form is different, but in essence, one and the same. The living Word is the means by which we partake of the incarnate Word, the nature of Jesus Christ. Great. Man, clear. We'll be over in the coffee shop in no time at all. Secondly, their ministries are identical. And here again, I just gave you four with references. They both regenerate. The Word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. No one was ever born again who didn't hear the Word of God. But John tells us that Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, regenerates us. Secondly, they both set us free from sin. In fact, that's an interesting passage. There are a couple of these where the authors of Scripture move back and forth from the living Word or the written Word and the incarnate Word in the same breath. In their mind, the distinction just wasn't as clear as we seem to try and make it today in many cases. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on Him, if you continue in My Word, you're truly My disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In verse 36, He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If you continue in the Word, you'll be free, and the Son will make you free. All in one breath, all in one paragraph, right together. The Word of God sets us free from sin. Jesus sets us free from sin. Right in the same presentation. Thirdly, they both sanctify us or cleanse us. Three passages. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you, that He might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the Word. Ephesians 5:26. But Paul says Jesus Christ is our sanctification. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus is my sanctification. Discerning the thoughts. Here's another passage that goes together. Hebrews 4, look that up please, 12 and 13. The same breath, the author of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12 says, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God discerns your thought life. It manifests your thought life. It reveals to you what you're really thinking. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Jesus Christ discerns your thoughts. All things are naked and open to Him, to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And then I jotted down another, half a dozen or eight. They both indwell us. They both were involved in creation. They're both involved in judgment. They both produce righteousness. They both bring peace. They both cause the disobedient to stumble. They both produce faith. They both give strength. And so on. Their ministries are one and the same. The way that Jesus Christ does all these things in us and for us and to us is through His Word. And the Scripture is careful to point out both, and I don't know how many there are there, 4, 8, 9, 12 different ministries, where in one place it says the Son does it, in another place the Word of God does it, referring to the Scriptures. All one and the same. Their ministries are identical. Now is that clear? Now the Son, as a man, died on the cross, not a book. And in His personhood today, interceding at the right hand of God the Father, Jesus Christ is seen as the exalted God-man. True. But His ministry today is to us through the Word of God. And if we want Him to do these things for us, we must find it in the Scriptures. Clear? Question mark. Yes, sir. All right, let me look up the references. The question was, would I clarify the cause of the disobedient to stumble? 1 Peter chapter 2, Fletch, let's take a look there and see if the Scripture will help. 1 Peter 2. Verse 7, unto you therefore who believe, He is precious. But unto them who are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, this is referring to Jesus Christ, prophesied by Isaiah, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, is to the disobedient a stone of stumbling. Then he concludes verse 8 by saying, even to them who stumble at the word, being disobedient. They stumble over Jesus Christ and they stumble over the Scriptures. Does that answer your question? Okay. It's another passage where the person of Jesus Christ and the Word of God are spoken of in the same breath as accomplishing the same thing. Okay, the third thing is our responsibilities to them are identical. We're to feed upon them. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Joshua 1:8. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Jeremiah But turn to John 6. Tremendous passage of Scripture. And if you really want to make it a life goal to grow in Christ-likeness, you must appreciate the teaching of the Savior in John chapter 6. Beginning with verse 56, the Lord Jesus says, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he who eats me, even he shall live by me." Now, do you know how the Jews reacted to that? They were repulsed. This was the passage a few verses later. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Because cannibalism was expressly prohibited in the Mosaic Law. Now, can you imagine a Jew standing up, speaking to a congregation of Jews who knew the Mosaic Law, the prohibition against cannibalism, and he says, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I in him." How that would fall upon their ears and jolt them. "As I live by the Father, so he who eats me, even he shall live by me." And he taught these things in the synagogue, it says in verse 59. The disciples said, "Now this is a tough saying." Verse 60. We are beginning to get in a little deeper here, early on in the game. He said, "Does this offend you?" Verse 61. He was not trying to win a popularity contest. Verse 63. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing." Now he's interpreting verses 56 and 57. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life." What he's saying is, if you want to feed upon me, you must feed upon my word. And this is what Joshua is talking about in verse 8 of chapter 1. This is what Jeremiah is talking about and others in the Scriptures. We feed upon Christ as we feed upon the word. He is, in fact, our daily manna. He is our sustenance. And every time you read the Scriptures and study the Scriptures with a sensitive heart and a desire to obey, you are, in fact, partaking of Christ. Precious, marvelous truth. And what happens? Well, what are we physically sitting here in our chairs tonight? You and I are the sum total of X number of McDonald hamburgers. That's all. Physically, you simply are the result of what you've eaten the last several months. And spiritually, you are the sum total of what you have eaten spiritually the last several months. The principle is the same. As you and I feed upon Christ, we become, we partake of the divine nature. That's why Peter talks about claiming these exceedingly great and precious promises and partaking of the divine nature. Every time you open the Bible and read it with a good heart, with an open, sensitive spirit, you become more like Jesus Christ. He in you, by the Holy Spirit. 18 months after my conversion, And having gotten up and fallen down and gotten up and fallen down, I read a little tract by a man named Trumbull entitled The Life That Wins. And his testimony was of 30 years of victory and defeat and victory and defeat in Christian service until the truth of Colossians 3:4 dawned on him. And fortunately, the Lord put that in my hands 18 months into the Christian life, that Jesus Christ was my life. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. And when the Holy Spirit turned the light on in my heart, in mind, it changed me. My Christian life is Jesus Christ living in me and through me. And the mission is to feed upon Him, to nurture Him living in me. He lives in you by the Holy Spirit. Your body is a temple. You want to nurture His being living in you by feeding upon Him. John 6:63. Then we love them. We love the Word. Psalm 119:97. We love Christ. John 14:21, chapter 21. The third responsibility, to obey them. Samuel 15:22. You know the story of Saul's disobedience. Thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. So he's rejected you from leadership. But we're to obey Christ. John 15:10. Acts 5:29. He gives the Holy Spirit to them who obey him. We're to preach them. Acts 4:29, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. And we're to preach Christ. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. There are other responsibilities that we have. We're to meditate upon the word. We're to meditate upon Christ. To glorify the word, glorify Christ. Allow the word to live in us. We're to allow Jesus to live in us. You can look up those references. Their characteristics are the same. Their ministries are the same. And our responsibility to them is the same. We feed upon Him. We become like Him. The attack today is against the Scriptures. Only because the ultimate objective is the heart of the Godhead. The Son of God Himself. That's who Satan's target is. Is the Son. Have confidence in the Word. Learn all you can. Read all you can. Read magazines, books, church history, philosophy, theological journals, commentaries. After you have majored on the Scriptures, be a man of one book, a woman of one book, the living Word of God, and have confidence in it. As you feed upon Christ, you become like Him. You received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually works in you who believe. That's it. Clear? That's great. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, it's been such a delightful day. There's such a sense of your presence here as we spend time with your Son in the Word of God, in prayer, as we feed upon Him, partake of His nature, Father, we thank You that You have given to us a living Word in the Scriptures, that our lives might, from one degree of glory to another, become more and more like the incarnate Word, Your dear Son. We thank You for one another. Thank You for the sweet fellowship. Thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And pray that You will continue to encourage us, to bring issues into focus. Cause us to have an ever-increasing appreciation, Father, of the proper place of Your Word in our lives. To love it, to meditate upon it, to master its contents, and to live it out in experience. That people who see us might be irresistibly attracted to the One who lives within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us grace to so order our lives that the Scriptures are not relegated to a few hasty moments here and there, but that we might so pace ourselves and schedule our time that the taproot of our soul will go ever deeper into this river of living water. We thank You and praise You and commit our hearts to You in His incomparable name. Amen.